All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor, and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a follower to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companion, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Today, inshallah, we are continuing the same topic, which is the belief in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which covers all the universe and man, his secrets, intentions, every deed and saying. And the title of the actually, when we are discussing about the belief in Allah's knowledge, and we are in the class of fulfillment of trusts, and today, inshallah, we will learn about the trust of the husband regarding the wife, and the title of the class will be A Very Private Prescription. And actually, Allah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we have to know that the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over us, that is to say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see and hear and record all our deeds and action. This will stimulate and encourage the believer to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best shape. That is to say, to fulfill his amana, and that is to say, his trust to all the people around. That is to say, to do all the duties towards the people around according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We already learned about our duties towards our parents and how to fulfill these duties in the best shape. Today, inshallah, we will learn as wives about our amana, trust towards our husbands. That is to say, our duties towards our husbands according to the rules of the Islam. Love is one of the greatest blessings which Allah has bestowed on humanity. Allah has created human nature in such a way that love is its nourishment and is its source to be healthy, living, active, and happy. In reality, the feeling of true love brings a spirit greater pleasure than many other blessings. In Islam, marriage is a blessed contract between a woman and a man, in which each become permitted to the other, and they begin long journey of life in a spirit of love, cooperation, and comfort in the company of one another. Marriage is the strongest bond in which Allah unites the two Muslim partners who come together on the basis of love, understanding, cooperation, and mutual advice, and establish a Muslim family in which children will live and grow up, and they will develop the good character and behavior taught by Islam. A righteous woman is the greatest blessing that Allah gives to a man, for with her he can find comfort, rest, tranquility, and pleasure. Let us learn in details as Muslim's wife about... Let us learn in details as Muslim's wife about the evidence that Islam honors woman. The evidence is that Islam honors the Muslim wife. What is the reality of happiness regarding wife and husband relation? What are the qualities of the man and how they differ from the qualities of the woman? This will be the topic which you will learn about it today, inshallah. First, let us learn about the evidences that Islam honors women, because actually it is a wrong concept which some of the Muslim women believe in, that Islam is not honoring the woman. So we need to clarify the evidences that Islam honors women, and actually Islam is the religion which treats the women in the best way. That's what we will learn now with all the evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah. First, we have to know that before Islam, women were treated with humiliation and disgrace. Okay, what is the evidence? The evidence, we will read it now from Surah An-Nahl, Surah number 16, verse number 58 and 59. I will give you the statement, all the rules and the facts, and then we will have all the evidences from the Quran, so that inshallah we will be sure that you know this is the reality related to the women in Islam. So now inshallah we will recite from Surah An-Nahl, Surah number 16. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and we will revise verse number 58 and 59. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا بشر أحدهم بالأنثى ظل وجهه مسودا وهو كظيم يتوارى من القوم من سوء ما بشر به أيمسكه على هون أم يدسه في التراب ألا ساء ما يحكمون 58 and 59 from Surah number 16.
And when the news of the birth of the female of a female child is brought to any of them, his face becomes dark and he is filled with inward grief. He hides himself from the people because of the evil of that whereof he has been informed. Shall he keep her with the dishonor or bury her in the earth? Certainly evil is their decision.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us that in the pre-Islamic society, whoever father has the news that he has a female newborn baby girl, he will hide himself from the people because of the evil whereof he has been informed. And he will be not sure whether he can keep her alive or it is better to kill her. Mm-hmm. Okay? So actually this means that women were treated with oppression and abuse, and female infanticide was widespread in Arabia, and these females who survived were given a position much inferior to that of the men, as they were used for the entertainment and pleasure. Women were inherited like animals and property. For example, any of the relatives of the deceased man, he can marry his widow if he wanted, irrespective of her point of view. Suppose a woman, her husband died, then his brother will throw a piece of material on her and he will take her with all the furniture and everything. Then it is up to him to marry her or just to leave her. No marriage. You see? So actually, this was the situation regarding the woman before Islam. And actually also, some Arabs can divorce women and stipulate that they couldn't marry anymore without the consent of their former husbands. You see, he will divorce her and then he will not allow her to marry again. Just, you know, as if she is a property or an animal. Okay? So this is the proof how the women were treated in the pre-Islamic society. Second, it is from that low position that Islam raised the relationship between man and woman to an honorable level befitting the dignity of the women. What is the proof? Now we will learn about the proofs, how Islam changes the position of the woman, how Islam makes the women equal to the men when it comes and when it starts, when it was revealed, the message of Islam was revealed. Now we will read from the Quran, from the same surah. Actually, this surah, Surah An-Nisa, in English, it means the surah of the women. So the Quran is having a chapter called the chapter of the women, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying all the rights of the women and how to treat them, and you know, their rights, so that you know there will, this is a clear proof from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Islam and respect the women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made for them a complete chapter in the Quran, chapter number 4, the women chapter. And now we will read from Surah An-Nisa. We will read the first verse of this chapter, the chapter of the women. We will read the first verse. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا.
O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord who created you from a single person, Adam, and from him, Adam, he created his wife Hawa, and from them both he created many men and women, and fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and do not cut the relations of the womb's kinship. Surely Allah is ever an all-watcher over you.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to the humanity, okay, in the first verse of the chapter of the women, that we all, women and men, we all belong to our creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has established us on the earth. And that all humanity share together a single kinship, and have the same origin. The same origin is Prophet Adam, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created from him his wife Hawa, in order to be its mate, and therefore for numerous men and women to assure force from them both. Okay, both men and women are two parts of a single soul. Okay, this is a clarification from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they are, both of them, from the same origin and from the same soul. Okay, and also this means that there is no difference between men and women in their nature or origin. Okay, so no one can say that women are lower, has to be in lower position than men. Okay, we will answer them that there is no difference between men and women in their nature, because both of them belong to the same father and mother, Adam and Hawa. Accordingly, men and women are two mutually complementary human beings. Men and women are not identical, but are a bare, each part of which complete the other one. Men and women are equal in front of the law and in all civil rights in Islam. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying in one verse of the Quran that men and women are equal, they are from the same soul, they are from the same origin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from them, from Adam and Hawa, created all the human being. Okay, and men and women are equal in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we will have another proof to prove how Islam honored the women, and how in Islam the women have the honorable level befitting their dignity. Now we will read from Surah An-Nahl, again Surah number 16, verse number 97. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Surah number 16, verse number 97. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون.
Whoever works righteousness, whether male or female, while he or she is a true believer of Islamic monotheism, verily to him we will give a good life in this world with respect, contentment, and lawful provision, and we shall pay them certainly a reward in proportion to the best of what they used to do. In other words, paradise in the hereafter.
Okay, thank you very much. So actually, this is the rule of the Quran. Okay, this rule is clarifying that in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both male and female are equal. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that whoever works rightness, okay, whether a male and female, and he is a true believer. So long as I am a true believer and I am doing good deeds, whether I am a male or female, we are equal in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each one of us will have the righteous life or the good life in this world. This means respect and lawful provision, and inshallah the paradise will be the final destination. So as true believers, this has to be the goal of every one of us. If I am a female, okay, my goal in life is to live a good life and to have the paradise as final destination. So I will question, in Islam, in the Quran, I am equal as a female to the male regarding this goal of life? The answer is yes. What is the proof? The proof is verse number 97 from surah number 16. All praise to Allah. This is the most important for me. Okay, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, is promising that whether I am a male or female, okay, so long as I am a believer doing the good deed, okay, there is no difference. I will have a good life and I will have the paradise. Okay, so let every Muslim woman have this verse number 97 to be a clarification that in Islam it is not the male or the female, it is the good deeds and the true belief. If you are a true believer doing the good deeds, no problem. Okay, be sure that you are equal to the male, and all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we will have another proof from the Quran to prove how the Islam honor the woman and treat male and female equal. And we will know this from Surah Al-Nisa, women chapter, which is Surah number 4, verse number 13.
لا تتمنوا ما فضل الله به بعضكم على بعض للرجال نصيب مما اكتسبوا وللنساء نصيب مما اكتسبن واسألوا الله من فضله إن الله كان بكل شيء عليما.
And wish not for the things in which Allah has made some of you to excel others. For men there is reward for what they have earned, and likewise for women there is reward for what they have earned. And ask Allah of His bounty. Surely Allah is ever all-knower of everything.
Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that for men there is a reward for what they have earned, and likewise for women there is a reward for what they have earned. Okay, and actually this means that Islam gives it to women the right of individual ownership, that right which was denied by societies of the past before Islam. Also Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, women are the twin halves of men. Okay, this means that women and men are equal in the Islam. Okay, so now we learn and we have the proofs that Islam honors women and respects their dignity, and we have the proofs from the Quran. Now we will have the evidences regarding to Islam honors the Muslim wife. Okay, so first Islam honors the women. Now regarding the wife, we have to know what is the situation of the Muslim wife in Islam. So we will know now about marriage in Islam. Actually, marriage is a human institution which is highly respectable in Islam, as it is the legal way to form the family, which is the foundation of the Islamic society structure. So let us now know from the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the proofs that Islam respects the Muslim wife. And actually in Islam the Muslim wife has more the rights which she doesn't have it in any of the other religions. And now we will have the proofs, okay? Proof one, marriage is a pledge that must be respected and respected by every believer. Okay. Now we will learn from Surah number 4. This is Surah An-Nisa, the chapter of the women, verse number 21. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وكيف تأخذونه وقد أفضى بعضكم إلى بعض وأخذن منكم ميثاقا غليظا. Let us read 20 and 21 in English.
20 and 21. But if you intend to replace a wife by another, and you have given one of them a kantar, oh, great amount of mahar, take not the least bit of it back. Would you take it wrongfully without a right and with a manifest sin? And how could you take it back while you have gone in unto each other, and they have taken from you a firm and strong covenant?
You see, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, when a man wants to divorce his wife, he is not supposed to take from her back, you know, what is called the mahr. Okay, the mahr is the covenant, the amount of money, okay, which he gave it to her at the, you know, when they write the contract of marriage. Okay, this is the, you know, the right of the wife, and also whatever he brought to her during the marriage, you know, gifts, you know, gold, clothes, whatever, he is not supposed to take anything back. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying why the husband is not supposed to take it back, because Allah is clarifying that the wives have taken from you a firm and strong covenant. This is the covenant of the marriage in Islam, okay? This is how, you know, it has to be respected. That is the pledge of marriage. Marriage which is given in the name of Allah and according to the method He has made lawful. Every believer must respect the pledge and respect the women right in it, okay? So this is the right of the women, okay? There is a very important point which maybe is not clear to, you know, some of you, especially the revered sister. That regarding that pledge, okay, and that covenant which, you know, is written at the time of marriage, okay, the women, the husband and the wife, they have the right to write whatever rights they are looking for after marriage. So suppose now I am a vegetarian and I am worried that my husband after marriage will tell me I don't want you to work. Now, you know, at the time, at the beginning he agree, but after I will be pregnant and I will have kids, I am so worried that my husband will stop me from work. So I will write, I have the right to write that this is one of the conditions. It has to be clear that when I will become pregnant and I will have kids, I have the right to stay in my work. My husband is not allowed to stop me from working. I have the right to write this in the pledge and in the covenant. Okay? If my husband agreed, okay, we agree. If not, you know, before writing, okay, before becoming his wife, okay, every Muslim woman has the right to settle everything. You know, suppose I want to visit my family twice per week, and I am under the impression that maybe after marriage my husband will tell me once per month. I will write that I have the right to visit my family twice per week. Okay? And the husband will sign. Okay, so that after marriage, if he will tell me no, I have the proof that he agreed before for this. You know, So this is to clarify that, you know, in Islam, the woman has the right and the respect to write whatever she is looking for after marriage, and the husband has to respect, you know, that pledge of marriage. The second proof that Islam honors the Muslim wife is that in Islam, both the husband and the wife has the right of choice of its life partner, okay? And there should be an acceptance and an approval of the acceptance from both the husband and the wife. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the virgin is not married until her permission is sought. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that the women in Islam have the free choice to choose their husband on the absence of any pressure of the parents, whom can advise but not pressurize. This is very important, because suppose now I have my daughter, you know, and I want my daughter to marry X person, okay? If I pressurize my daughter to marry that person, okay, without her acceptance, this is not a legal marriage in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The life of my daughter with that man will be illegal, will be zina. You see? So everyone, yes, this is the reality of Islam. You know, this is the mercy of Islam. So, because marriage is the journey of life. You cannot, as parents, to choose for your daughter the most rich, the most prestigious, this and that, you know, for your own prestige, while your daughter is not happy with him or she doesn't like him, and you pressurize her, you tell her you have to give your acceptance, okay, so that, you know, the family name and the prestige and this and that, in spite of the fact that she's not happy, she doesn't want to marry that husband, okay, Islam protects this human spirit. Okay, why to pressurize someone to live the whole life with someone whom she is not looking for to live with? This is against the freedom of the spirit, which is very important in Islam. Actually, you know, sister, most of us, we don't understand and we don't realize the true principles of Islam. One of the most important principles of Islam is the freedom. Okay, and this is the proof. Okay, no one can pressurize their daughter to marry any person. This is illegal, this is haram, this is not accepted in Islam. Okay, the virgin, okay, is not married until her own permission. Not permission by pressure of the father or pressure of the mother. It will be the father of the mother on the day of judgment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them for every minute and every second their daughter live with that person against her will, because this is not marriage, this is zina, this is illegal relationship, not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is make it very critical, so that, you know, none of the parents will try to pressurize their daughters, especially the daughters, you know, or the sons sometimes, but it is always related to the daughters, okay, to marry someone whom she is not interested in. They can advise, okay, but they are not supposed to pressurize. Actually, every Muslim has to know this fact, so that if her parents will try to pressurize her, she has to tell them that this is against the rules of Islam. My life will be illegal. I will not be pressurized. Okay? I refuse to be pressurized. We can keep on discussion until we agree for a point of view. But pressure? No pressure in Islam, because marriage, you know, marriage is the basic, is the basis for the family. You cannot build a family on pressure, because the family is supposed to have a lot of pressure. So it must consist of two persons whom they are close to each other, love each other, choose each other, so that they can support each other to live the future with all the trials. Okay, this is why in Islam, it is not allowed to pressurize someone to marry. Okay, because if you pressurize your daughter or your son, then there will be a failure in the marriage. Okay, this means that, you know, the unit of the community is failing. This is what is going on now. Why the communities
most of the communities now are not successful because the families are not the true families which has the relation of love, support, compassion. You know, there are no families now in reality. Okay, and because of that, there is no communities. Okay, there are people living on earth totally away from each other. Okay, so, or there are some individual living in one home. Everyone is having his own world, everyone is having his own way of thinking and his goals. But maybe they eat together, and maybe they come together, but in reality they are strangers. You know, they are not two spirits which are very close to each other, they love each other, they need each other, they support each other, they live through the love of each other. Okay, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the family to be. And because of that, Allah prevented, you know, any pressure related to marriage. Okay, there is no pressure in marriage. Okay, and actually this is the proof that Islam respects the Muslim wife and respects the woman. Okay, because the one whom she's always under the pressure is the daughter. Okay, it is always very difficult to pressurize your son, but it is always more easy to pressurize your daughter. Okay, and it is not always the pressure is the tough relation. Sometimes the pressure is the very nice relation. Okay, the mother will say to her daughter, for my sake, for the sake of the family, for the sake of our future, for the sake that your father will be nice with me, please accept to marry, you know, that person. Your father will be very happy. We will live a very good life. Please sacrifice for the family. My daughter, you are an excellent person. Sacrifice and sacrifice. So what she will do? She will sacrifice. She will sacrifice, and then, you know, what will be the end? The end will be total failure of her family, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish the mother for this, for this failure. She will pay the whole price, the mother, because she was the one whom she didn't follow the rule of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the virgin is not married until her permission is seen. You know, another proof related to that Islam honors the Muslim wife, and this we will know it also from Surah number 4, the same Surah An-Nisa, chapter 1, and we will read verse number 4 so that we will know about the dowry, which is the right of the wife in Islam. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم آتوا النساء صدقاتهن نحلة فإن طبن لكم عن شيء منه نفسا فكلوه هنيئا مريئا.
And give the women whom you marry their mahar, obligatory bridal money given by the husband to his wife at the time of marriage, with a good heart. But if they, of their own good pleasure, remit any part of it to you, take it and enjoy it without fear of any harm, as Allah has made it lawful.
So actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us that Islam gives every woman a clear and personal right to her marriage portion or dowry. That portion belongs to the woman, and she should receive it herself and not her guardian. Actually, this is a very important point also, which is sometimes not clear, you know, to the Muslims. Okay, Muslims, we are under the impression that this marriage portion, okay, the parents are supposed to have it, and then, you know, to furnish the house or to buy the clothes or whatever, you know, to prepare their daughter for marriage through that marriage portion. Okay, this is not the rule of the Quran. The rule of the Quran is that that marriage portion is related to the woman, the one whom she will marry. Okay, and it is up to her if she wants to give it to her parents to prepare, you know, for the wedding, okay, or whatever she needs for the marriage. It is up to her if she wants to give it to her future husband after marriage, okay, so that they can arrange their life in a better shape. It is also up to her. Okay, it is not up to her parents or to her husband to take that amount of money from her. Okay, so, you know, this is another proof how Islam respects the Muslim wife, how Islam is giving her that amount of money to feel that, you know, she is not a property, you know, which someone will buy her from her parents and pay the price to the parents. Okay, it is an agreement between her and another, and her husband, future husband, and he will give her that amount of money as a clarification that he appreciates her, he loves her. If she wants to buy, you know, some clothes or some gold or to keep the money for the future, this is a proof of appreciation, that amount of money, okay, which is called the mahr. Okay, the more you know the details about how Islam is treating the woman before marriage and preparing her for marriage, you will feel how Islam is giving the honor to the Muslim wife, you know, while she is preparing herself for marriage. But the problem is that our tradition misunderstand and confuse the rules of the Quran with the tradition values. And at the end of the day, we don't know, you know, this marriage portion is related to the parents. Actually, in Egypt, that, you know, when the future husband will give that marriage portion, you know, he will give it to the father, not to the, you know, to the that girl whom she will marry at all. Maybe she will not know how much. He will just give amount of money to the father. Then the father will take that money to furnish the house and to prepare the house. Okay? That right, which is the right of the future wife, okay, this is not clear in the mind of most of the Muslims. You know, they are always under the impression that this amount of money is to prepare the new house. Not for her, for the new house. Whether her father will take it or her future husband will take it or she will share with that amount of money in buying the new furniture, under any circumstances, that amount of money has to be used for the new house. It is not her right, okay, to decide, yes, this is what is going on in our countries, actually, and in our country, as I know, in Egypt. I don't know about the other Muslim countries, but the marriage portion equal to furniture and preparation of the new house. Okay, it is not for the future wife to get it or to use it or to feel that it is her own. Okay, this is what is going on, you know, and this is why always, you know, sisters, when we learn about the Islam, we must learn what is the Quran is teaching us. Okay? Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are not supposed, you know, to be under the impression of, you know, this is the tradition or this is the Islam. Okay? Only I follow the Quran. When I only follow the Quran, I feel the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, in every proof which we are learning, okay, these are the proofs of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But out of ignorance, okay, Muslims confuse the mercy of Allah with the traditions. So they never feel the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Out of ignorance, to tell you the truth, when I prepared this class of marriage, you know, maybe 2 years ago, when I was 52 years old, it was not clear for me that this is the rights of the woman, wife in Islam. I grew up with the tradition point of view. You know, this marriage portion is for my parents. Regarding the pledge of marriage, I'm not supposed to write anything, otherwise my husband will be upset from me and he will give me hard time after marriage. You know, so I'm supposed to keep silent at the, you know, this the pledge. Okay, actually I will tell you other proofs, you know, proof number 4. Okay, proof number 4 is that the husband's responsibility is to provide the essential needs of the family. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified in surah number 2, verse number 233. Okay, this is a very important rule to be known before marriage. It is the husband's responsibility, okay, to provide the essential needs of the family. Now we will read from surah Al-Baqarah, surah number 2, verse number 233.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والدات يرضعن أولادهن حولين كاملين لمن أراد أن يتم الرضاعة وعلى المولود له رزقهن وكسوتهن بالمعروف لا تكلف نفس إلا وسعها لا تضار والدة بولدها ولا مولود له بولده وعلى الوارث مثل ذلك فإن أرادا فصالا عن تراض منهما وتشاور فلا جناح عليهما وإن أردتم أن تسترضعوا أولادكم فلا جناح عليكم إذا سلمتم ما آتيتم بالمعروف واتقوا الله واعلموا أن الله بما تعملون بصير.
The mothers should suckle their children for 2 whole years, that is, for those parents who desire to complete the term of suckling. But the father of the child shall bear the cost of the mother's food and clothing on a reasonable basis. No person shall have a burden laid on him greater than he can bear. No mother shall be treated unfairly on account of their child, nor father on account of his child. And on the father's heir is encumbered the like of that which was encumbered on the father. If they both decide on weaning by mutual consent and after due consultation, there is no sin on them. And if you decide on a foster suckling mother for your children, there is no sin on you, provided you pay the mother what you agreed to give her on reasonable basis. And fear Allah and know that Allah is all seer of what you do.
So actually related to our topic, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that the husband responsible, the father of the child should bear the cost of the mother's food and clothing on a reasonable basis. The essential needs are the food, the clothes, treatment and residence. Okay, this is the father, okay, or the husband is the one, okay, responsible for to provide these essential needs of the family. Okay, it is not the responsibility of the wife, okay, to provide anything to the family. If she choose to help, okay, this is up to her, and the husband has to be thankful for her, because this is not her responsibility in Islam. In Islam, now inshallah we will discuss all about the responsibilities in career, in very clear, in details, but just to prove from the Quran that, you know, the one responsible for the essential needs of the family in Islam is the husband only. Okay, proof number 5, kind treatment is the duty of every husband. You see, not the opposite, because some people are under the impression that tough treatment is the duty of every husband in Islam. Okay, yes, some people are always saying this about Islam, but this is wrong. Yes, in Islam women are treated very bad. You know, this is totally wrong. Now we will give the proof that according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, kind treatment is a duty of every husband. Now we will read from Surah, in the same chapter of the women, Surah An-Nisa, Surah number 4. We will read verse number 90. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يحل لكم أن ترثوا النساء كرها ولا تعضلوهن لتذهبوا ببعض ما آتيتموهن إلا أن يأتين بفاحشة مبينة وعاشروهن بالمعروف فإن كرهتموهن فعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا ويجعل الله فيه خيرا كثيرا.
O you who believe, you are forbidden to inherit women against their will, and you should not treat them with harshness, that you may take away part of the bahar you have given them, unless they have committed open fahash, illegal sexual intercourse, or disobey their husbands, and live with them honorably. If you dislike them, it may be that you dislike a thing through which Allah brings a great deal of good.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in Islam, the marriage relationship is based on freedom of choice, which indicates that affection, mercy, love, and compassion are the basic feeling between the husband and the wife. This is the basic, okay, which we will learn now, inshallah, about. But still, there are outbursts of temper, which can lead to feeling of hatred. Accordingly, Allah the Almighty is controlling this situation through advising the husband. Allah didn't advise the wife. Allah advised the husbands to control their anger and hate towards their wives, as there may be much good in these wives which the husband cannot recognize. It is an advice aiming at keeping the family relationship away from destruction as possible. Actually, we know that in Islam, the husband has the right to divorce. Okay, so if the husband becomes angry with his wife, maybe in a minute he will decide to finalize this relation. You know, shaitan will come to him, okay, and he will make him very angry, okay, and the husband will be, you know, under this anger, okay, and the effect of shaitan that he wants to finalize the issue in a second, and that's it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy, okay, he commanded the husbands, okay, and he recommended for them that it may be that you dislike a thing and Allah brings through it a great deal of good. Okay? You know, sister, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the spirits, he knows how to handle the spirits. Okay? When the husband will realize the meaning of this verse, that maybe my wife is very nervous. My wife is not treating my family in a good way. My wife is not sometimes cleaning the house in a good shape, but my wife is a very honest person. My wife never lie. My wife never cheat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always out of his mercy. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always giving this wisdom statement to the husband. Don't hate your wife for so and so issues, because there may be a lot of good in that wife which you don't know. Keep her. Keep her. Okay? This is, sister, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how every Muslim wife has to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you recite this verse only, you tell to yourself, all praise to Allah, the most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always opening for me ways with my husband. If I am upsetting my husband for some reasons, okay, I can go ahead and tell him, my husband, please recite this verse of the Quran. Maybe you are upset with me because of so and so, but my husband, listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directing you that still I have a lot of good, and please keep me and don't concentrate on my weak points. You see, this is when we learn the Quran, okay, and we know the mercy of the Quran, so that, you know, we will have this knowledge. Whenever I upset my husband for any reason, okay, I will have this verse with me, and I will tell him, Allah is saying that you may dislike a thing, and Allah brings through it a great deal of good. Not only some good, some mercy, but a great deal of good. Okay, so if the husband is very upset and he has the intention to divorce his wife, then he will recite this verse, okay, he will tell to himself, let me obey the command of Allah. Maybe that wife, she has a great deal of good. Let me calm down, you know, for some time and think it over. Okay, and during that time, always with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, there will be, you know, some discussions again and everything will be alright. So try to have this verse number 19 from surah number 4. Okay, and whenever you feel that your husband is about to be very upset with you, okay, tell him, I have a lot of good,
Don't forget about the good inside me. Actually, sister, this is very effective verse. Many husbands, when they realize this reality, okay, they always, you know, try to forget about their anger and they try to concentrate on the good points in their wives. A good practical example of this is how Islam view marriage. This example provided by Umar ibn al-Khattab, the second Khalifa, who was once approached by a man expressing his resolve to divorce his wife simply because he didn't like her. One man, he went to Umar, the Khalifa, the second Khalifa, and he told him, I want to divorce my wife. In reality, I don't love her. Okay? So Umar, radiallahu anhu, said to him, our families built only on love, where would you then place loyalty and mutual care? You know, this is the Islam. Okay? Suppose now, my husband, okay, is very nervous, for example. Okay? And I understand what is the meaning of the word marriage. Marriage is life company. Not company for one day or 2 days or some years or nice time or to have fun or to enjoy life. No, marriage is the company of all my life. Okay, so I am not supposed, when I am upset with my husband or my husband is upset with me, immediately I think it over that I am not happy, I have to find another one, I have to, you know, to think of this and that. This is totally against the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar ibn al-Khattab is clarifying, our family is built only on love. Where is the true love today? Where is, I want actually someone to show me the true love of today. Today it is the benefit for the benefit. I know you because I need you for a benefit, even for the husband and wife relation. It is still the benefit. When they marry because of the benefit. He is very rich and she is very beautiful. So they marry each other. Where is the reality? Where is the true love? Where is the basic of the marriage? This is the marriage, is the most important event in the life of the believer. Because it will either direct him to the paradise or direct him to the hellfire. So we are not supposed, you know, to build the most important company of our life on nonsense, fun, beauty. What is beauty now? All the beauty is not real now. All the beauty is plastic surgery now. Yes, most of the beauty is plastic surgery. This is something known now, you know. So when I think, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us, you know, the importance of marriage. This is more important than the qualification. This is more important than the wealth. This is more important, you know, than any other thing other than to follow the right path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And I will clarify to you now. But this is Umar ibn al-Khattab is clarifying that if a husband doesn't love his wife, let him remember the pledge of marriage. The sympathy and the affection. The Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged kind treatment of the wife and encouraged their respect again and again. Okay, there are many people whom they are always spreading that in Islam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not encouraging kind treatment to the wife. Okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he encourages kind treatment of the wife and encourages their respect. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the word and all the things are precious, but the most precious thing in the world is the pious woman. What is more better, you know, than this? If you are a pious woman, righteous woman, following the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are the most precious gift in this life. You see, this is how Islam, you know, how Islam evaluate, you know, the women. When you are righteous, when you follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be the best gift in this life. And to tell you the truth, when you live in your life, you will live this reality. Okay, the righteous woman will be the one to take care of the wealth of her husband, the health of her husband, the future of her husband, the religion of her husband. The righteous woman will put her husband first, and she is number two. Okay, the only one whom she will put her husband first is the righteous one. Because she fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She follows the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She is not a selfish wife. The selfish wife will put herself first. The future of her husband, number two. Religion of her husband, number two. Wealth of her husband, number two. Family of her husband, number 10. Why? Because she loves herself. Very simple equation. You either love Allah and follow the commands of Allah, you are the best gift in life for your husband. You love yourself and you love the worldly life, you are the big disaster in the life of your husband. Actually, this is the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this what I live with in my daily life when I come in contact with the sisters. Okay? The one whom she fears Allah, be sure that she is the one treating her husband in the best way, even if her husband is not treating her the same. And the opposite is correct. Okay? The second hadith is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best property a man can have is a remembering tongue about Allah, a grateful heart, and a believing wife who helps him in his faith. You see, again and again, sisters, this is the best property of a man. Okay? If you want to have the best property, have a tongue which always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Have a heart, okay, which always appreciates the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have a wife whom she always reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time of prayer, go and pray. You know, give charity. Communicate, this is your parents' right. Give your parents the rights, because she fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, sisters, you know, actually, this is one of the duties of the wife, which we will learn, inshallah, in details, maybe next class. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, fear Allah regarding women. Okay, this means that don't oppress them, don't treat them in a tough way, and be kind to them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, a Muslim must not hate his wife, and if he is displeased with one bad quality of her, let him be pleased with one that is good. This is the meaning of the verse which we recited before. Suppose this is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving again the same advice which Allah mentioned in the Quran. If you are not happy with your wife because she is nervous or she is not accurate, you know, in cleaning the house and so, always concentrate on a good habit. Forget about the bad habit. And why? Why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, is giving this advice to the husband? He didn't give it to the wife. He said a Muslim must not hate his wife. You see? So, sisters, we need to know this hadith so that it will be clear and it will be fixed in our minds that Islam is the religion of mercy regarding the women and the Muslim wife. But actually, out of our ignorance, as Muslims, we don't know the reality of Islam. This is a fact which every Muslim has to say it, okay? Because this is the truth, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide us to the right path. But if we keep on denying the truth, okay, out of ignorance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep on punishing us. Okay? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the more civil and kind a Muslim to his wife, again, a Muslim to his wife, the more perfect in faith he is. You see, this is a very important hadith. Because every believer, he wants to feel that he is very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that he obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best shape. Again and again, I want to refer to you this hadith so that I want you to feel the mercy of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the wives. The mercy of the Islam regarding the wives. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clarifying that. If you want to prove to yourself that you are perfect, it is treat your wife the best treatment. So what is more, you know, encouragement and advice he can give to the husbands and to the women, to the men. Okay, every man, Muslim man, wants to feel that he is a righteous man. If you want to prove that you are a righteous man, following the rules of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, treat your wife in the best shape. All praise to Allah. All praise to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the end, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, also treat women kindly. Actually, the rule is that it is clear that in the Quran, Allah the Most Merciful gives the Muslim wife all the rights that will help her to live a respectable, happy and marriage life. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he always reminds the Muslim husband to appreciate his wife and to love, support and treat her kindly. And in his last khutbah, he said, treat women kindly. This was his last khutbah. You know, in that khutbah, he said, okay, استوصوا بالنساء خيرا. Treat women kindly. Okay? And actually, in his life, he was a role model of appreciating the appreciating kind husband. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always helping his wife while they were working at home. Whatever work they are doing, he will be helping them. Actually, inshallah, we'll have a class about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the role model of the Muslim husband. But let us now continue, inshallah. We will know now about what is happiness, because we want to know about the happy marriage. So let us first learn about the definition of happiness. Okay? So that when we have happiness as a goal, it will be clear in our mind what is happiness. Okay? Because everyone is looking for happiness in spite of the fact we don't know what is happiness. But no problem. I'm looking for happiness. Actually, sister, happiness is not a materialistic thing that we can see, touch, count, or buy. Happiness is the feeling of internal security, mental peace, and self-satisfaction. We can't be the source of our happiness, because happiness is an internal feeling. We cannot buy it. We cannot be the source of it. Only the controller of the hearts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can be the source of happiness. It's the only source of happiness. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can bestow the internal feeling of happiness in your heart and in your spirit. Accordingly, the only way to have happiness with your husband and your wife is through the obedience of the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He commanded us to follow to have that feeling of happiness. Clear?
Yeah.
Okay. So, if you tell me what is the proof for this theory? So now I will give you the proof for that theory from Surah number 30, verse number 31. Surah number 30, verse number 21. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون.
And among his signs is that he created for you wives from among yourselves, that you may find repose in them. And he has put between you affection and mercy. Verily, in that are indeed signs for a people who reflect.
Okay. So, sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning to us, you know, and he has put between you affection and mercy. This is the happiness. Who is putting the happiness? I am the one putting the happiness? No. My husband is the one putting the happiness? No. Allah is the one who has put. Okay, this is what I want to clarify to you in detail. You know, so that we understand why we are, the happiness in the marriage is not for long time. You know, I will clarify to you now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that, and He, Allah, has put between you and your husband, affection and mercy. So this is the proof that if you are looking for affection, if you are looking for mercy, which are the true happiness, okay, in marriage? Marriage is a happy marriage, successful marriage, when there is affection and mercy between the husband and the wife. Okay? Not when there is a big car in front of the mansion. Not when there are, a lot of clothes in the locker. Not when I have two servants at home. This is not the signal that this is a successful, happy marriage. The successful, happy marriage between two spirits, okay, equal to these two spirits are having the affection and mercy between them. When they have the affection and mercy between them, these two spirits, this is the marriage bond which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in every marriage at the beginning. Okay, so I have to clarify to you this verse in detail, because this verse is the basic, okay, for the for the whole class, which we will have it next week, inshallah. This verse is clarifying two facts. Number one, out of Allah's perfect mercy, He made their wives from among themselves, so that their physical, psychological, and mental abilities will be similar, because they are from among themselves, okay, and in harmony. And this will lead to a feeling of compatibility, peace, and security. This is fact number one, which Allah is clarifying in this verse. Their wives from among themselves. This is number one. Number two, Allah has put, I want to clarify to you, has put. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say He put, already put. Allah said He has put affection and mercy between every husband and wife at the time of marriage. Let us reflect and have a pause in order to understand these two facts in detail. Regarding fact number two, let every one of us remember the time of engagement. Okay, your engagement with your wife, with your husband. Okay, at the time of engagement, what was your feeling? It was the feeling of happiness, love, attachment, and kindness, or not? It is supposed to be these feelings, otherwise the marriage will not happen. Correct? So, yes, let us be logic, because when you are logic, you will agree for the result. Okay, well, step by step. So, during the time of engagement, the feeling was happiness, love, attachment, and kindness, which you both feel towards each other. Okay? This beautiful feeling, okay, these beautiful feelings were the stimulus for marriage. Okay, I married my husband because during the period, the time of engagement, we were very similar and we were very close and we understand each other. And because of that feeling, okay, of affection and mercy, we decide to marry. Correct or not?
Yes.
If someone doesn't agree, let us discuss, because there will be consequences. Okay? This is number two. Okay? So this feeling were the stimulus for marriage, which is always built on the affection and mercy, which Allah is clarifying in the clarifying that He is its source. Okay? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for you to marry your husband, He already has put affection and mercy between your spirit and the spirit of your husband. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not made you to marry that man. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator, He knows that marriage is not an easy trip. Marriage is a life trip which is full of trials. So basically, these two spirits need affection and mercy so that they can continue and they can keep the relation in a good shape and they can have a successful family, which is the most important unit in Islam. All the Islam is built on the family. You know, this is the most important unit in Islam. Okay? So, I want you, sister, to realize this reality and to admit this fact. At the time of the marriage pledge, you were having mercy and affection towards your husband or not?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, praise to Allah. So now we are proving the rules of the Quran. Yes.
And you, Cecilia?
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, you know, sister, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding every one of us that there was affection and mercy. That affection and mercy was supposed to be there until the end when, you know, we will leave this earth. I will leave this earth, I will die while I'm still having the affection and mercy towards my husband, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in my heart and in his heart at the time of the marriage. You see, this is the mercy of Islam. Okay? So actually, it is only our duty is to try by all the means to keep that affection and mercy and love throughout our marriage journey so that we can keep the feeling of tranquility, peace and harmony between each other. And in order to keep the affection and mercy which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put between every husband and his wife from day one of marriage, in order to keep it, okay, we need to understand some facts, okay, which are related to the difference of the physical, mental and psychological abilities of the man and woman. This inshallah will be the topic of the next class inshallah, and now we will stop and inshallah we will continue this, the very private prescription related to marriage, next class inshallah. Most important day of is next Sunday, okay, because this is the day of Arafah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come close, you know, and he will say to the angel, look to my servants, they come to me, you know, and I will forgive them. This is the day of forgiveness, okay? So, you know, for the sake of Allah, you know, fast, inshallah, next Sunday. Okay, this is the day of Arafah. And try to do supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, Allah will answer all our supplication. It is the day when those, you know, Muslims whom they are on the mountain of Arafah, Allah will forgive, inshallah, their sins and will accept their supplications, inshallah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our good intention also to answer our supplications, inshallah. So inshallah, next Sunday, you know, inshallah, I hope that every one of us will fast. And also, if you want to fast these 9 days of the Hajjah, it is also very good to fast these days because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he always was fasting on the first 9 days of the Hajjah. And subhanAllah, Maghrib prayer is at 9:25. It is a very short day. Now, you know, we have 3 hours and we will break the fast. So, and also I want to clarify to you one thing. If you have some days from previous years of the month of Ramadan which you didn't compensate, you can fast this day of the Hajjah with the intention that if you have anything to compensate for, this will be compensation. If you already make up, yes, to make up for what you missed before. If you already finish, alhamdulillah, you fast all the previous Ramadan, this will be extra for you. But subhanAllah, I am under the impression that they are always making up for most of the Muslims. Yeah. You know, because when we are young, you know, we always miss some days, and sometimes when you are pregnant, then you are, you know, feeding the baby, you know, giving breastfeeding, you know, you don't fast the month of Ramadan. So when the day is short, you know, get benefit of this opportunity and fast. Okay, especially these last days, inshallah, and do supplication at the time of break of the fast. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer all our supplications. Let us make the dua now together, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala mubarak ala Sayyidina Muhammad alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all love in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on
on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, and from the trials in lifetime and after. O Allah, our Lord, truly we have wronged ourselves and none can forgive sins except you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to forgive our parents and all the Muslims. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favor upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.